Adam is the antitype of Christ. Kent Hughes, in his commentary, said there's a greater distance between Christ and Adam than between a grasshopper and the highest archangel. So, one choice, one act, one sin affected the many. One sacrifice, one righteous deed affected salvation for many.
Through Adam, sin entered the world. But through Christ, we can be freed from the bondage of sin. Today on Connect with Skip Heitzig, Skip shares more about the free gift Jesus offers you. But first, Skip wants to let you know about a resource where you can get some extra biblical encouragement from his wife, Lenya.
Do you crave knowledge, connection, and honest conversation? Well, I'm excited to announce that my wife, Lenya, just launched a new podcast called All the Things. She and her co-host, Lindsay Maestas, are diving into a variety of topics, including faith, family, culture, and the workplace. If you have a desire to learn and grow while getting to know Lenya better, subscribe today wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Thank you, Skip. The Bible gives you foundational truths about who God is and how He works in your life. And our heart is to help build the faith of friends like you by making these biblical teachings available on air across the U.S. and around the world. But your support is vital to make that happen. Your gift today will help keep these messages you love on the air to encourage you and countless others. So please consider giving today at connectwithskip.com/donate. Connectwithskip.com/donate. Or call 800-922-1888. 800-922-1888. Thank you.
Now, we're in Romans chapter 5 as we dive into the teaching with Skip Heitzig.
Look at verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world. That's where the problems all started. Through one man sin entered the world. He opened that door. And when he opened that door, a deadly virus infected humanity. Since Adam, every human being is born S-I-N positive. Through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. Thus death spread to all men. Look at verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Do you notice the progression? Sin entered, number one. Death entered, number two. Death spread, number three. And number four, death reigned. So one man's act brought results so catastrophic, we are still to this day experiencing the repercussions. When Adam sinned, he generated a constitutional change in his character. He acted as the federal head of humanity. That's what theologians call it. The federal head of humanity, passing on his nature throughout history. If that's sort of hard for you to get your head around, the federal headship, I'll give you kind of a modern analogy. In the story and the movies, The Hunger Games, head actress, who is in this, the character Katniss Everdeen, she becomes both a substitute as well as a representative. She's a substitute for her sister Prim, saves her life by taking her place, but she becomes a representative. She becomes the federal head of her district. So that if she wins those gladiatorial Hunger Games, her whole district reaps the benefits for a whole year of food and feasts. So Adam acted as the federal head of humanity. Jesus comes after and acts as the federal head for all those who believe. Now I can hear wheels turning in heads. People are saying, well, wait a minute, that's not fair. I never met Adam. I would know him from Adam. Now, why am I taking the rap for what he did? Why am I being implicated for a crime he committed? I didn't eat the fruit. I don't even like fruit. Now, I actually do like fruit. But why would God condemn the world because of what one person did? How could he pass that along? Well, let me answer that simply, first of all, by saying this principle works in other aspects of human propagation. We get physical characteristics from parents and grandparents. That gets passed down. Eye color, hair color, body type, height, All of that gets passed on genetically in the genetic code all the way down the line. In the same way, sin is a matter of spiritual genetics. We inherit a fallen nature. Let me give you a second explanation. By condemning the race through one man, God is able to save the race through one man. By consigning all of us under the condemnation clause, since we're all born into that state, we can all be saved by his grace by simply believing. By one man, by one man. I'm going to read something to you that I've been fascinated with for years. I know you wouldn't read anything like this today from a government agency, but this is a statement given by the Minnesota Crime Commission. It was written in 1926 as an explanation that the government agency was giving to explain the rise in crime rate. But you would never hear a government organization say anything like this today, but it happens to be biblically accurate. 1926, Minnesota Crime Commission, the reason for the rise in crime rate. I quote, "Every baby starts life as a little savage." Boy, they got that right. "He is completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants when he wants it, his bottle, his mother's attention, his playmate's toy, his uncle's watch. Deny these, and he seethes with rage and aggressiveness, which would be murderous were he not so helpless. This means that all children, not just certain children, are born delinquent. If permitted to continue in the self-centered world of his infancy, given free rein to his impulsive actions to satisfy his wants, every child would grow up a criminal, a thief, a killer, a rapist." You'd never hear that today. We're so politically correct, they wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. However, the Minnesota Crime Commission in 1926 seemed to have a good biblical grasp on what we call depravity. That's a term for our condition. The total depravity of mankind. That's a harsh word. That's a hard sound. What does that mean? The word depravity means marked by corruption. It does not mean you're as bad as you can possibly be. It means you're as bad off as you can possibly be. You see, before God, you and I are as bad off as we can possibly be. We can't get any worse. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness. That is our natural state. We are by children the nature of wrath, even as others. That's depravity. That's what Adam brought. Sin entered, death spread, death reigned. Now we turn a corner. After considering Adam, we consider what Paul calls in Corinthians the last Adam, Jesus. So just like through one man's failure brought mankind's fall, also by one man's fix bought mankind's favor. Let's look at verse 15. And I'm glad just for the first word because it's a nice change. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, if you just sneak back a half a verse, verse 14, notice what it says at the end. We haven't even looked at that yet. It says, Adam, who is a, what does it say? Type. Adam, who is a type of him, capital H, referring to Jesus. Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Type, tupas, pattern. He is a type. Adam is a type of Christ, not because they are similar to each other, but because they are dissimilar to each other. The only similarity between Adam and Christ is that what one did affected the rest. That's their similarity. Adam is a type of Jesus in an opposite sense. We would say, actually, he's the anti-type. Adam is the anti-type of Christ. Kent Hughes, in his commentary, said there's a greater distance between Christ and Adam than between a grasshopper and the highest archangel. So, one choice, one act, one sin affected the many. One sacrifice, one righteous deed affected salvation for many. Now, by the way, technically, you see where it says many? It keeps using that word. Because of this, many were made righteous, many were made guilty. There should be a the. There's an article before it in the original language. The many. So the one affected the many. And the second, the one, affected the many. And the many means everybody, means all mankind. Look at verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men. So many is an appositional statement of every single person, everyone, all of them. But here to me is the great part. There's that phrase I told you about, much more. I want you to look at a few of these. Look at verse 15. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's gift or one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one man, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. In other words, people still blew it from the time of Adam to the time of Moses when the law was given. But when the law was written at the time of Moses, it now makes it worse. Because you might be doing all the stuff the law says don't do, but now that the law says don't do it, you know it's wrong. Wet paint, don't touch, don't enter. The law makes the offense known and amplified. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded, here's the term, much more. Here's the composite truth of all these. Whatever we lost in Adam, we gained in Christ much more. And verse 20 is really the pinnacle of the entire passage. Where sin abounded, grace, here's a better translation, superabounded. That's what one translation says. Superabounded. Another translation, overflowed, exceeded the mark. Here's my translation. When sin reached its high water mark, grace completely flooded over. Charles Haddon Spurgeon preached a whole message on verse 20, the single verse. He called it grace abounding over abounding sin. Think of it like a dam, a water dam, that is erected to keep out the flow of a great river. There's several examples around the world. Two notable ones in our region would be the state almost next door to us, sort of next door, Nevada. The Hoover Dam, built in 1935 by FDR, largest structure on earth at the time. And then the Orville Dam in California happens to be, to this day, the tallest, the highest dam in the world, 754 feet high, 1 mile wide. The point of the passage then is that sin cannot erect a dam so high that grace cannot overflow. I want you to hear that truth, because some of you are thinking, man, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've thought. You don't know what I've said. And you don't know how often I've said it. Yeah, sort of like Adam, like what I said. We're just like that. We keep doing it. But you might feel like a failure on so many levels. And if you're thinking, you know, my sin has erected a dam, it's pretty high. God's grace can overflow that. Where sin abounded, grace can abound much more. Back in 1492, remember what happened in 1492? In 1492... You got an A that day. That was probably kindergarten, right? We learned that. So you were there. You did good, because I just heard it from you. 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Before 1942, 1492, Forest Service. So before 1492, the Spanish coins in Spain, had a little motif on the front of the Strait of Gibraltar, the Rock of Gibraltar. And the words in Latin inscribed, ne plus ultra. That means no more beyond. What they're saying is, you've reached the end of the world. There's nothing after this. There's nothing beyond this. This is it, baby. There's no more beyond. Well, that was 1492, and Chris hadn't come back home from his voyages yet. But when Christopher Columbus did come back home from his exploring the New World and discovered, oh, there's a lot more, they had to re-mint the coin. And they dropped the nay, and now it read plus ultra. There is more beyond. And if you think your failure has tapped out God's grace, you don't know your God. If you think what you've done, the dam you've erected, has kept God's grace away from you, you don't understand your God or His grace. And you need to let verse 20 sink in, where sin abounded, grace overflowed. Now go back to Adam. You know what happened when Adam sinned, right? Adam sinned with his wife. And afterwards, they're kind of standing there. And they look down and they go, we're naked. We got to fix that. They had this sudden self-realization of something they never really realized before. It wasn't an issue before. Now they're very self-conscious. And so they had to cover themselves up. What did they cover themselves up with? What did they put on? Fig leaves. Ever felt a fig leaf? It is so rough. It's got whiskers on it. It's itchy. It's rough. It's not comfortable. And it's temporary. Fig leaves dry out. They break apart. You have to keep getting new ones, which is just a bad experience all the way around. So, God was very gracious and provided, the Bible says, skins, animal skins for them. Now, question, would you rather have leaves with whiskers on your private parts or sheepskin? Easy choice, right? So God provided animal skins, presumably, though we can't be sure, sheepskins to cover them up. But to get animal skins, you got to get an animal. To get animal skins, you got to kill an animal. You have to shed that animal's innocent blood. That animal didn't do anything. God killed the animal, shed the blood, took the skins, provided clothing. That becomes a principle that is shared in the New Testament, Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. In that whole encounter, God was sharing two truths with Adam and Eve that become part of the biblical narrative. First of all, death came into the world because of sin, and only a life can pay for it. And number two, God is demonstrating that a substitute can be offered in the place of the one who committed the sin. Now, with Adam and Eve, when they sinned, it was one lamb per person. Eve needed a skin, Adam needed a skin. So it was one lamb per one person. But as time moves on, God establishes the Passover among the Hebrew nation, and He allows one lamb to be slain for one family. Later on, time moves on. Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, God allows the slaying of one lamb for the whole nation. But time does march on. And by the time we get to the New Testament, John the Baptist sees Jesus coming and he goes, look, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Now it's one lamb for the world. What one man, one lamb can do. So what can one man do? A lot. Jesus now, the new federal head, undoes the damage left by Adam. So people might look at Adam and go, "That God isn't fair." You're right. It's not fair that Jesus should pay for your sin. Think of it that way. People complain and they say, "Why should I get punished for what Adam did?" Here's my question. Why should Jesus get punished for what you did? And yet he did. He was that lamb. He did. Why? He must think we're worth it. He must think we're worth it. Speaking of one man, you've heard that little statement, one man's trash is another man's treasure. So there's yard sales all the time that bear that truth out, right? So unfortunately, the stuff that is in the yard sale today is in the dumpster tomorrow. And maybe some of you feel like that. You feel sort of like leftovers at a yard sale. You feel useless. You feel worthless. I want you to know God doesn't see it that way. God doesn't see you that way. God doesn't think you're a bargain at a yard sale. Because he was willing to pay the highest price to enter into a relationship with you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Highest price. And that's the gift, verse 15. But the free gift is not like the offense. Because it's a gift, you can't brag about your accomplishments. Because it's a gift, you can't earn it. You can only receive the gift. But you have to receive the gift, or it's really not valid. So you can't blame Adam for what he did. Because you have that incredible power of choice yourself. And it comes down to this. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with God's provision to fix the problem? What will you do? Will you believe and let Jesus be your federal head? Or will you just let Adam do what he did? Here I am. Pretty bad. Bad stuff. Every generation. Okay. Let him begin with you. Let him change your heart, your life. You want to change a nation, a world? It's one person at a time. It begins with you. And God is giving you an incredible power right now. To choose.
That's Skip Heitzig with a message from the series Heart and Soul. If you want to invite Jesus into your heart, we'd love to tell you a little more about this life-changing decision and to hear from you. Visit connectwithskip.com/knowgod. Now we want to share about an exciting resource that will help the kids in your life discover and appreciate the riches of the Bible.
The Bible. It's the most important information you can pass along to the next generation in your family. And that can be a challenge, right?
In this book, this Bible, there are 66 separate books. Some long, some very, very short. 31,173 verses. Sounds like a big book. It is.
As Skip Heitzig says, the Bible can definitely seem overwhelming to read. Same for your kids and grandchildren. That's why you'll want a copy of this new resource from Skip. It's called Soaring Through the Bible, and it gives kids and tweens an overview of the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, in a fun travel guide format that keeps them engaged in all God has for them. Request your copy of Soaring Through the Bible, a kid-friendly resource, when you give a generous donation of $35 or more to keep this program going strong, connecting you and others to God's Word. Call now to give 800-922-1888. You can also give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
Thank you for tuning in today. We hope you were encouraged in your walk with God and want to invite you to help do the same thing for others who may be struggling today. Your gift today will help keep these teachings you enjoy on the air and make it possible to help more listeners like you grow stronger in their faith. So please consider giving a gift today to help bless others just as you've been. Call 800-922-1888. That's 800-922-1888. Thank you.
Tune in tomorrow as Skip's son, Nate Heitzig, shows you how to turn away from sin and truly experience the victory of Christ.
And there's almost this fondness, this desire, this longing to go back to their old life. But as a Christian, going back to sin is like winning the lottery and going to a life of poverty. We've experienced the riches, the abundance, the mercy, the love of God.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection. Connection.
Connect with Skip Heitzig is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.